From the culture to the classroom, there are a lot of elements of this New Orleans Saints team that should make you excited. And a lot of it was on display week one, but now the pads are coming on for week two. So what are we watching for in the second week of New Orleans Saints training camp? We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Monday episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. We don't forget, we are available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credentialed member of the media. You can find me every day over at USA Today's Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday, and then some on Locked On Saints. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by our friends over at Bet Online. They've got more odds, lines, and props than ever before. Check them out, Bet Online, where the game starts. Today, we are recapping the biggest stories from week one of New Orleans Saints training camp, looking ahead in the offensive and defensive sides when it comes to week two of camp. But I am not at it alone. I invited my very good friend Jack Colata from Boot Crew Media and Talk Colata Podcast to join us to break it all down. So we're going to kick this off with Jack on the biggest stories from week one. All right, everybody. It is my great pleasure to be joined by my good friend Jack Colata from over at Boot Crew Media. You can follow at Talk Colata, C-U-L-O-T-T-A, and of course at Boot Crew Media as well. You can check out the podcast Talk Colata. We've got another episode coming up with John Hendricks breaking down everything going on with training camp, but it is my great pleasure to have Jack here on Locked On Saints today. Jack, we've had a very fun time over at New Orleans Saints training camp week one. Obviously, the biggest story centering around Michael Thomas and his surprise return day one of camp. Did it just feel like we kind of got set up for that one a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dennis Allen, you know, the night before training camp saying, we'll see him soon. And then he's there bright and early. So, all good things from 13.
Yeah, it was a great thing to see. And of course, you know, the moment that kind of brought all our eyes to him was him going out there, running a route, making a catch. How has Michael Thomas looked to you out on the field so far? Are you seeing anything discernible in terms of a limp or anything like that?
No, not at all. I mean, I think he looks and appears to be ready for the preseason. And look, I mean, it was a planned day off, as Dennis Allen said today. And, you know, not so much on how he looks or you know, how his routes are run. I haven't seen him drop a pass, so that's always good. But, you know, one, you can't guard Mike unless you're CD Deuce, maybe. And two, what a good feeling as a Saints fan and as a member of the media to hear a backup quarterback, a veteran quarterback who's played in a number of different offenses and just got down here in New Orleans, just got his family down here in New Orleans, and Andy Dalton to call Michael Thomas one of the top wide receivers in the league.
Yeah.
If that doesn't get you going, I don't know what will, because, you know, when a guy says that and he's only thrown a couple passes to you, that means he knows what's up.
Yeah, you're clearly doing something, right? And I feel like there has been a lot of, let's just say, forgetting who Michael Thomas is across things like national media and all that. We get the great opportunity to see him every day in camp now. And obviously, you know, look, Jameis Winston didn't have the greatest completion percentage last year, but you have to imagine that that changes with guys like Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave on the field, and that Chris Olave connection already starting to come on a bit.
Certainly. And what I'm most interested about, Ross, is, you know, how are those three gonna rack up the numbers together, right? Because I feel like Jarvis Landry, when he played with Odell Beckham, you got to think about, like, there was that talk of, like, Odell not getting enough targets and, like, not getting enough looks. And I wonder, is Michael Thomas going to be asking Pete Carmichael and going to be wondering why Olave and Jarvis are getting all these targets when, you know, he's the wide receiver one. And so that's kind of interesting. I don't think Michael Thomas is going to be that type of guy. I truly want to be optimistic and believe that he's, you know, here to win football games, and bringing that talent only opens up the field and opens up opportunities for him. But that is something when it comes to star players and anybody who, you know, has pride in their game. And as Michael Thomas said, in quote, you know, I'm here to perfect my craft. Well, is perfecting your craft now going to look like being a decoy for an inside route for Jarvis Landry? Is perfecting your craft now going to be running across the middle so that Chris Olave can get open deep? You know, those things are really exciting to see, is how those kind of deep routes look and who they're targeted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see how the New Orleans Saints create conflict defenders with all of the different sort of combinations and route combinations they're going to be able to pull out with these guys that are just like phenomenal route runners and have the entire route tree available to them. So, yeah, so we'll see how all of that goes as we get into the season. What other big stories or big takeaways do you have as you look at this New Orleans Saints offense or defense through week one so far, outside of, you know, the big return of Michael Thomas?
I've tried to focus most of my time on offense just because it's such a luxury that we have.
Yeah.
Such a benefit and, you know, a privilege that we have to just have this amazing head coach, defensive coordinator in Dennis Allen, and this just raw talent on the defensive side of the football. So I like to focus most of my, you know, podcasts, any of my posts on the offense, because that's, you know, the biggest concern, I think, as a Saints fan, but also the biggest excitement with all this, you know, new added talent. And I like to focus on the guys in the trenches. I mean, that's what my package and my story was on today, is James Hurst and Trevor Penning.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked with Landon Young today as well. And then I'm also a big Taysom Hill guy. I love Jarvis Landry. I love the talent that we have. Obviously, Kamara, Mark Ingram. But Adam Trautman is going to have his work cut out for him to see targets, I think, with Taysom Hill kind of working in that tight end room. And look, we heard that he has injured ribs. I don't know if the phrase out indefinitely was used or how accurate that is. I don't even know what that phrase means, to be honest.
Not anymore.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm a big Taysom Hill guy and a big offensive line guy this year with the Saints. And to see the quiet leadership and just the maturity and you know, selflessness of a guy like James Hurst has been something that stood out to me.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things to where, like, there's a lot of excitement that you pick up getting to sit on the side, getting to sit on the sideline and watch, you know, the actual action, I guess, take place on the field. But you can feel the camaraderie of this team in those interviews, the way that they speak about one another, the way that they speak about their own expectations for themselves, their respect for the coaching staff, whether it's Cody Burns or Doug Marrone or even Matt Rhea, the director of sports science, which I dare say not many other teams' players are out in press conferences talking about their strength and conditioning coach and stuff like that. You can just kind of feel, I think, the culture of this New Orleans Saints team, despite all the personnel changes, despite the change at head coach, still very much intact, which is a huge takeaway for me week one.
You're a big Matt Rhea guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Matt Rhea guy. I want to know all about the coaches. I want to know all about, tell me about the assistants, all that other stuff.
What was your question for, who did you ask about Matt Rhea?
Oh, Landon Young. He was talking about his recovery over the course of the offseason. And then I just kind of was like, hey, did you feel like Matt Rhea, the sort of addition of Matt Rhea and the way that he has kind of changed things around, that that's impacted you at all in terms of your recovery? And then we got like a 7-minute long answer from Landon Young on it. Not really, but you know what I mean? Like, he really went in depth on it, which is awesome. But you can see the respect that these guys have for their staff.
And I want to point out, when it comes to coaches, you know, you mentioned Cody Burns, Doug Marrone, Matt Rhea. How about Jari Evans joining Zach Streif?
How cool is that, right?
How awesome is that? You know, Ty Warren and him coming in as kind of, I guess, coaching, you know, assistants, and obviously, you know, a Saints alumnus and a Hall of Fame guard for the Saints, and Jari Evans. I mean, you know, my mom is one of the biggest Saints fans I know. She has her traditions for Saints Sundays and football games. She cooks the same thing. She has the same people over. She sits in the same spot. she yells the same things at the team. And look, I mean, when you know your mom, who's a big Saints fan, tells you how excited she is that Jari Evans is becoming a coach of the Saints, that's just awesome. You know, I mean, it's awesome, and he's such an he's an awesome guy. I like his specs too. I'm a big mm-hmm. glasses guy. So no, but in all seriousness, this O-line is just that one position group that I not so much worry about, but look, when a quarterback's coming off an injury, you don't know who's starting at left tackle, not to come at it with any type of like, you know, curious or like mm-hmm. negative mindset, but more from an optimistic mindset. I'm excited to see who starts at left tackle and who's going to protect Jameis Winston's blind side. Because obviously, as we all know, we lost him in, what, week 7?
All right, y'all, more with Jack Calotta here in just a moment. Looking over on the offensive side and why we're excited to see the offensive line once those pads come on, because it's about to get physical. We got that coming up for you as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about our friends over at Dave. Now, every now and then, it's worth mentioning and worth admitting that, hey, look, we all need a little bit of extra help, right? So what if you were able to find a way to help yourself, especially when it comes to maybe even borrowing a little bit of extra cash? Well, now you can with Dave. Dave is the online banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. And best of all, there's no interest, there's no credit check necessary. And there are already millions of people who have downloaded the Dave app and have gotten the financial relief that they need with extra cash. That's more money to help fill your tank. That's more money to help with maybe like a birthday present or a last second wedding gift if you've got a last second wedding in the family or something weird like that. Either way, no matter what, Dave is going to be able to help you out. So make sure you go and download that Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account so you can get $500 instantly or up to. And of course, for terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees do apply. Banking with and provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Go and check them out. Future you will thank you. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Don't forget, we have our live episode coming up later on Monday afternoon, probably around 2 p.m. following New Orleans Saints training camp day 5. And of course, the pre-recorded evening episode will drop around 7 p.m. there as well. So make sure you come through for the live show so you can get your questions in. As always, I appreciate you so much for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Here we are with Jack Calotta continuing on today. Now we're jumping over to the offensive side and what we're looking for going into week 2. Those pads are coming on, so we get to see a lot of action in the trenches, but also some running backs with an opportunity to separate themselves. All right, y'all, continuing on with Jack Calotta at Talk Calotta. Of course, you can follow along Boot Crew Media at Boot Crew Media as well. Jack, just a second ago, you were speaking a little bit about that offensive line. As we get into week 2, the pads come on. You have to imagine that we're going to learn a lot about the players in the trenches when that happens. How excited are you for that period?
Yeah, and I'm excited about it. I mean, I've mentioned the competition battle at left tackle mm-hmm. between Trevor Penning and James Hurst, but what about Cesar Ruiz?
Yeah, you know, definitely.
That's somebody that I think has a lot to prove. And one thing I liked about what I can't remember if it was Mickey Loomis or Dennis Allen. It might have been Mickey Loomis who said the night before training camp started, mm-hmm. he said, you know, think about this. This is his first full offseason,
right?
You know, Cesar Ruiz, and it's a lot of these guys' first full offseason with the COVID restrictions mm-hmm. and obviously limited offseason work happening during, you know, the restriction with COVID. And so he's a guy that doesn't get a lot of love on Twitter from Saints fans mm-hmm. and Saints, you know, Saints Twitter can be a hateful place sometimes, but, you know, I think as long as he can block out the noise, and I think that goes with Michael Thomas too. If he can block out the noise, I think he's going to impress some people this year. But I'm excited about Eric McCoy, Ruiz, obviously Ryan Ramczyk is one yeah. of the best in the NFL. And to see Penny and Hurst go at it, I think is only going to make the team better and only going to make both of those guys better. I also, tell me, Ross, what you think, because in Madden, you can kind of you can change like guards and tackles uh-huh. around all the time. Like, can these guys switch from guard to tackle?
There are some guys that could do that. I would put Cesar Ruiz in that category, but a guy like James Hurst has, you know, throughout his career has played guard and tackle. Same thing for Calvin Throckmorton. They call Calvin Throckmorton, when he was at Oregon, they called him Doc Throck because of how just ridiculously smart he is. And one of my favorite stories around Calvin Throckmorton, just to show off his intelligence, was when he went to the Senior Bowl. He was a late invite to the Senior Bowl, so he didn't show up until like Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. They hand him the playbook, and he was ready to go by Saturday for the game. Like, he's an incredibly smart player. Dude's insane. And so, yeah, they definitely have those guys that can do that for sure. And you mentioned Cesar Ruiz there, and you have to imagine he's one of those guys that really gets the benefit from the presence of Jari Evans, right? Like, having him come in as an intern coach to help with him. I know he had kind of pulled him off to the side on Saturday and was working with him a little bit. Like, how invaluable is that for a guy like Cesar Ruiz?
Yeah, I mean, look, what was it, James Hurst, who said it today? You can have a guy who's been there, done that, and a guy who can, you know, tell you where your feet should be shifting.
Yeah,
you can say, look, when it's this type of defender, you need to. And he said this. Jari Evans said this in the press conference yesterday. He said, you know, whenever I would block.
Oh, Aaron Donald. Yeah.
Aaron Donald. He said, I never used my hands. But he was always waiting for my hand, and so because he didn't, he was looking for it and he was anxious for it, and so he thought I was gonna start putting my hands on him, and instead I just kept my hands together and just moved around. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, those are invaluable, as you know, to take a word out of your book, is invaluable to have a former player helping it. You know, those guys.
Had to be pretty cool for Jari Evans to stand there too and be like, oh yeah, he never crossed the line of scrimmage. Like, like what a flex. What a flex.
Flex. The 99 in that. Maybe the best football player in the NFL.
Right.
Could not get that.
One of the other guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing, particularly with the pads coming on Monday, getting into week two, is undrafted free agent running back Abram Smith. That was really interesting. Coach Allen talking a little bit about his relationship with the Baylor offensive coordinator and how, like, the Saints actually, there was some conversation about potentially drafting Abram Smith. He goes undrafted. They bring him in, give him a lot of a pretty good amount of guarantees as an undrafted free agent. We haven't really seen him pop yet, but I think a lot of that just simply has to do with, you know, look, they're playing two-hand touch out there right now when it comes to the run game. Once the pads go on, it becomes a bit of a different story. Do you see a guy like Abram Smith or maybe another running back finding a way to maybe separate themselves from the rest of the running back room?
Yeah, man. I like Abram Smith and Devin Ezigbo.
Yeah, Devin Ezigbo. I
mean, yeah. Abram Smith set Baylor's single season rushing record.
Yeah. Yeah. With his one season, by the way, as a running back, because he played linebacker the two seasons before that, which is just insane.
That is nuts. You know, Abram Smith and Devin Ezigbo, I really like in the passing game. You know, and so I think that to me is kind of what I look for, because at the end of the day, Pete Carmichael, you know, is not gonna, I don't think he's gonna change a lot. And what I mean by that is the check down passes are something that Sean Payton and Drew Brees were famous for. And so I think with all the talent that we have at wide receiver and tight end, you have to think that the Saints are going to take the best guy after Mark Ingram who can catch the football. And, you know, you tell me who you think that is. Is it Abram Smith? Is it Devin Ezigbo? Is it Tony Jones Jr.? And I hate to say this, but Tony Jones Jr. didn't impress me.
He had those two drops. He had those two drops on Friday as well.
Right. So I'd rather, as of right now, and again, it's early. I'm going to use Dennis Allen. it's too early to look at that. You know, it's too early to say exactly how he's going to be. Look, Dennis Allen is right by saying that. There's still a lot of time left. But preseason's 2 weeks away. And but yeah, no, that's what I look for when it comes to those guys. But I put a Ezigbo and Abram Smith over Tony Jones Jr. on my list as of right now.
All right, y'all, much more with Jack here on the way as we look ahead to the defense. Much like there are some running backs to get an opportunity to separate themselves when the pads go on, there are a couple of safeties who might get an opportunity to showcase that physicality, that's already making them household names in the city of New Orleans, who they are, and much more on the defensive side and what we're looking for in week two as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. We get to do that every day here on the show, Monday through Friday, your team every day, thanks to our friends over at Bet Online. So whether you're looking for odds, lines, and props on your New Orleans Saints, including win totals, they still have the Saints right now at 8.5 wins, which I think is just absolutely nuts. I've already put my money down on the over. If you want to do the same, Bet Online is the place to do it. You can get win totals. You can get odds on games. There's already like 11 regular season games they have odds on, so you can get into all of that. Or if you don't want to bet on your favorite team, there's the rest of the NFL teams across the NFL. And then there's also NBA odds. There's NHL, MLB. There's even combat sports, esports, golf, maybe even pickleball at some point for all I know. These guys think of everything over at Bet Online. So make sure you go and check them out on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, wherever it is that you want to head there so that you can get all of the sports trends and action. They also have a bunch of stuff on sports wagering podcasts, sports wagering information and articles as well. So a lot for you to check out over at Bet Online, where the game starts. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. We are wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints with Jack Calotta, looking ahead to week two and what we're expecting to see and hoping to see from the defense. Again, the trenches are going to be a big highlight, but there are a couple of safeties that are going to be worth watching as well once those pads go on. All right, y'all, wrap it up today's show with Jack Calotta at Talk Calotta on Twitter. And of course, you can check out Boot Crew Media at Boot Crew Media. That's K-R-E-W-E, the way that the Lord intended crew to be spelled. as we wrap up here, we're gonna look over the defensive side heading into week two. And, you know, look, the first big takeaway I think you have to look for at the beginning of week two as those pads come on is kind of the reverse of what we just discussed, sir, over on the offensive side. When it comes to like the trenches, guys like Kentavious Street, Shy Tuttle, some of these defensive interior guys, the edge rushers, the defensive line is going to become a lot of fun to watch once the pads go on. Is that what you're looking forward to the most, or are there specific players you're curious about?
I mean, I just want to see Paulson Adebo.
Oh, man. He's been so good. He's been so good.
Really good. I mean, look, you know, I think Saints fans are curious. And all respect and privacy should go to, you know, Tyrann Mathieu. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason he is out, quoted that it was a family matter or a personal matter. I think both of those words were used. Obviously, everybody's interested to see what the safeties are going to look like with Tyrann and Marcus May back there. I'm just, you know, I'm going to be looking at the defensive line and when Pete Werner's going to be back.
Yeah, that's a big one for me, too.
You know, because he and Demario Davis talked about at minicamp and OTAs about their chemistry building. And, you know, they're two guys that are, you know, that are built differently and they move differently and they play differently. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see, you know, no particular player, but I want to see Paulson Adebo continue to ball. And obviously we want to see Marcus Davenport back there, and let's see Peyton Turner continue to put pressure on Jameis Winston and the guys in the offense.
Yeah, Peyton Turner with the pads on and these guys really going at it. That should be a lot of fun. He's been nothing short of, I don't want to say dominant, but he's certainly been nothing short of extremely impressive so far over the course of early camp.
I would fear for my life.
Dude, I feared for my life when he came to the podium. And he's so nice. He's just so big. He's such an enormous human being. And he uses every bit of that, you know, that length that the New Orleans Saints really love at the edge rusher position. He just puts it all in full display. I've got two safeties that I'm interested in seeing, especially if Tyrann Mathieu continues to be absent going into next week. I want to see more of Smoke Monday. I want to see what happens when they put the pads on this guy. And Justin Evans, if he finally gets a chance to hit somebody, if they go full out at any point. He's been close, right? He's been really close a couple of times. There was one today, I think it was Ian Book, that, you know, put a pass out to Kirk Merritt over on the left sideline in both. I think it might have been you and I. I think we were standing next to each other and we were like, man, Justin Evans would have cleaned that up big time because he was right in line for that one. So I'm curious to see what happens when the pads come on these guys, because there's going to be a balance of aggression but also trying to make those big plays that these guys are going to have to strike a balance with. So that'll be a lot of fun to watch as well.
No question. And, you know, when you look at the safety position and you mention Justin Evans, mm-hmm. I like the fact that guys are intercepting Jameis Winston. You know, mm-hmm. we might not have pads on, but we have competition.
Yep.
Guys who want to take the team. And so who else did you mention besides Justin Evans?
Smoke Monday.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, I got to give some credit to our friends over at WWL Radio because I'm driving home and I hear Bobby Hebert say, smoke Wednesday, smoke Thursday, smoke anytime you want, but definitely smoke Monday. So,
oh, Bobby.
Want a guy with that.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him once maybe the practices can get a little bit more physical because that's kind of his brand of football. Now, I don't think he's going to de-cleat anybody in the middle of practice or anything like that, right? Like, even when these guys do get into contact, they're going to take care of one another because they want to win going into 2022. But that was kind of his brand of football at Auburn. He was an extremely physical player, probably the biggest hitter in that draft class. And so getting him out on the field during the preseason is going to be a lot of fun once they head over to Houston for sure. The last piece that I think is worth discussing over on the defensive side is going to be that second level. You mentioned the idea of getting Pete Werner back. Certainly that would be awesome to see. But even still, there have been a couple of other standout linebackers, Eric Wilson, Andrew Dowell. Anybody else at that second level that stood out to you behind DeMario Davis?
I mean, you took it.
Sorry, I stole it from you. I apologize. Yeah, that was a terrible setup.
Andrew Dowell. Impressed mm-hmm. me at camp. Impressed during 7-on-7. I like the way he moves. I think he's faster than most people think. And also, when you have a guy who's focused on special teams, I mean, Dennis Allen and obviously Coach Rizzi are focused on the special teams unit mm-hmm. as much as anybody. But Andrew Dowell seems like he can do a lot. And when you're the only guy who had a blocked punt for the Saints, I think last season, mm-hmm. Maybe not the only blocked punt, but he was the only guy to record 5 tackles in a game on special teams.
Yes.
5 special teams tackles in a game. And so look, this guy wants to make tackles, and that's what you love to see going back to the history of the NFL. That's what linebackers are supposed to do is tackle and hit hard.
I think
he can bring that to the table.
Yeah, and these guys, you know, one of the things that I love that Andrew Dowell talked about on Saturday during his presser was, you know, all of the kind of revamping that has happened on the secondary, the comfort that gives you as a second level player to just focus on run fits, to always go run first. That's what the Saints want from the linebackers anyway, right? Eliminate the run first and then be ready for coverage and all that. So they're certainly in a much better position to be able to do that. Speaking of special teams, Will Lutz is back. We saw him go 7-for-7 today, including one from 51. Really nice to see him back on the field for the Saints.
100%. And thankfully, I went to college with Megan. Mm-hmm. Her name was actually Megan Fox, and then she married Will, so now she's Megan Lutz, which is kind of funny
because yep.
Megan Fox is, you know, a celebrity.
Right.
And she was, you know, she was there at practice. She was there at what is it called?
Back
Together Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
At training camp on Saturday, and you know, I saw her. I took a picture of Will, and I had Will on my podcast recently, and you know, he is dialed in on the sense of not just wanting to compete with kickers across the NFL, but wanting to compete with himself.
Yeah,
I brought up a percentage. A make percentage
mm-hmm.
Or of attempts and made kicks, and he was like, oh, that I'm that low on that list, like, and I like that, you know?
Yeah,
like, I can, and that's what a kicker's supposed to do, compete with himself and improve himself every day and just master that position. And so for him to go 7-for-7 and for him to be back and fully healthy, you know, he wants to make another 59 yarder to win the game.
Yeah,
so all good things there, and I gotta give some love to the long snapper Zach Wood and the holders. You know, Blake Gillikin hitting absolute boots today.
Oh my goodness, it was wild. He's been absolutely wild. Great stuff when it comes to special teams for the New Orleans Saints, of course. And it's worth mentioning, marrying Will Lutz is greater than marrying Machine Gun Kelly. So Megan Lutz, much better situation than Megan Gun Kelly. So yeah, that's the way that we'll take that one. Buddy, I appreciate you so much for taking the time. For more from Jack Colada, make sure you follow him on Twitter at Talk Colada. Check out the Talk Colada podcast as well, where they talk a lot of sports. And of course, Boot Crew Media at Boot Crew Media, all the phenomenal work those guys are doing. Jack, I appreciate you so much for taking the time, buddy. Good to see you.
Keep trimming the roster. See you at Wrong Iron, bro.
You got it, man. See you at Wrong Iron. All right, family. One more big thank you to Jack Colada at Talk Colada on Twitter. And of course, you can check out all of the incredible work from Boot Crew Media at Boot Crew Media as well. Coming up tomorrow or later on today, depending upon when you're catching this episode, our next episode will be a live episode Monday afternoon, probably around 2 p.m. Central Time, right after New Orleans Saints training camp, to get you all of the observations that you need to know. And then, of course, a 7 p.m. pre-recorded show to get you a little bit more in-depth on the biggest stories and answering your questions from the live show as well. So I appreciate y'all, as always, for making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day. Every day, don't forget to go and check out Locked On NFL. Kevin Ostreicher today on Monday getting you the biggest stories with the help of the local experts, the way that only Locked On can do it. So make sure you go and check that out wherever you get your podcasts, everything you need to know around the NFL in less than 30 minutes. I appreciate you, as always, making me a part of your day. If you see me, say hi, especially if you're out at practice this week. Don't be afraid. It's okay. I'd love to say hi to you. Of course, I will see you later on today or tomorrow, depending upon when you're catching this. But for everything you need in between these episodes on your New Orleans Saints, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.